His skin is white just like a ghost. Thick Irish roots and his blonde hair. And he sounds like a Chicago super fan. A music nerd with a collection of CDs from here to there. Yes, Andy Dare is in Chicago, interviewing and barbecuing. It's the Andy Dare Show. It's the Andy Dare Show.
Welcome to the Andy Dare Show. This is episode 134. I'm your host, Andy. We got a great one. Special guest, Adam Casto from the band Nerd Table out of Columbus, Ohio. They've been doing it since 1998. And if you're at all a fan of grunge, I do suggest their brand new EP called Nerd Table 4, The Quest for Peace. And yeah, four awesome tracks, really cool song titles, real cool sounds. They got their, a very early Nirvana drummer, Chad Channing. He guests on the thing, and just to make it even cooler, they do a cover of Nirvana's Big Long Now, and Chad is on vocals. And yeah, they've been doing it for a long time. They've got quite a reputation for bringing in these legendary artists from the whole grunge era, the Pacific Northwest, and bringing them to 2015. And Adam is the whole mastermind behind the whole project. And yeah, the new EP is out now. You can find more information at nerdtableonline.com. Follow them at Twitter at nerdtable and also on Facebook. And yeah, it's a great interview. He's a funny guy. A lot of cool stories about, the inspiration for the songs. We go song by song. And yeah, I do highly recommend this EP. I also want to thank everybody who checked out the last episode, the interview with Chris Conley. He's a Chicago rock legend, an industrial giant, performing with Ministry, Revolting Cox, whole bunch of cool stuff, The Damage Manual, lots of awesome records he's been a part of. So it was a long time coming. I had interviewed him a long time ago, but it took quite a while for me to get him on this show. So just want to thank Chris and everybody who checked that one out. Lots of downloads. Thanks, guys. And yeah, Mike Tamano, at Mike Tamano, said, enjoyed the Chris Connolly interview. The Wax Trax Collective is a major part of my own Chicago history. Great job, Andy. And yeah, thanks, Mike. And it's a cool one. It's up now. Check it out, my episode 133 interview with Chris Connolly. And yes, thanks for everybody who checked it out. In other news, yeah, we got a brand new fanzine out now. It's called The Honeycomb, and yeah, it's like an old zine based on, I've been reading the brand new book about Sub Pop, and it's called Sub Pop USA by Bruce Pavitt, and it collects all the early fanzines that came out in the early 80s up to the late 80s. This was before this was even a record label. It started off as just a fanzine, put together, cut it out with paper, taped together, Xeroxed, and sent out. And I said, you know what? Who else is doing that nowadays? I'm sure people are, but I don't see it around where I go quite often. So I said, why not make it my own zine? We call it The Honeycomb, based on the studio where I live, The Honeycomb Hideout. And yeah, I'll just get a mailing list together and send one out every month. I thought, what could be more different in this flimsy digital world of 2015 than a tangible fanzine that I make in my house and I send through a mailbox? And it's pretty wild if you think you would just put a stamp on an envelope and in 1.5 days it's in California. That's pretty cool. So yeah, The Honeycomb Magazine, you can't follow it on Twitter, you can't like it on Facebook, you can't check out its website. All you got to do is sign up for the mailing list and you'll get it. It's completely free. Want to thank Tyler Kale, Jay Porks, and Dan Korhonen for contributing to the first ever issue of The Honeycomb. Want to thank Adam Stephen, or producer Adam, for sharing it on Facebook with all of his friends. That's real nice of you. If you want to spread the word, please share it on social media. That's cool. I mean, I just want to get more people on the mailing list. And yeah, so we got a good group of people that signed up for the first one. We just want to keep it growing. It's a monthly thing. There will be a next one is March. Second pressing is done, and guess what? They're all sold out. So I don't think I'm going to be doing another pressing of this one. So if you want to be on the mailing list for the March issue, all you got to do is call the show, 630-341-3022. Leave your mailing address as a voicemail, or you can email me at andrewmartindare@gmail.com. Get on the mailing list, and I'll send you a copy. So it's a cool thing. It's a new thing. Just started it off this month, the Honeycomb Magazine. More info at andydare.com. All right, I'm going to keep my spiel short this week. Just one more thing. Just want to thank Uncle Bub's award-winning barbecue for signing on for another period of sponsorship. And it's a great family-owned and operated barbecue business in the western suburbs of Chicago. Been around since 1997. And it's a family-friendly restaurant, open 7 days a week. But not only is it that, half the business is also catering. They have lots and lots of trucks, mobile smokers to do pig roast. They've got grills. They'll come out to your corporate event. They'll come out to your wedding. They'll come out to your luau, your backyard picnic. They'll do that too. They'll grill burgers, brats, chicken, you name it. They can do the whole hog for you. They can do a pig roast, do it right on site, carve it in front of the party, have that fresh pulled pork for the entire party, and I'm sure you'll have some leftovers. It's a great time. They're a great business, totally friendly and honest and great people. Check them out at UncleBubs.com. Give them a call at 493-9000, that's 630-493-9000, and visit them at 132 South Cass Avenue in Westmont, Illinois. Tell them that the Andy Dare Show sent you for special offers, and I just want to thank Mark, the owner, for being so supportive of my career the last couple years. He's an awesome guy. They're a great company, Uncle Bub's award-winning barbecue. All right, so stay tuned. After the interview, I will be airing Nerd Table's awesome track, Big Long Now, featuring Chad Channing on vocals. So stay tuned for the whole interview, and that will be at the last part of the show. I want to thank Adam Casto for taking the time out to do the interview. And without further ado, my episode 134 interview, Big Long Now, with special guest Adam Casto. Everybody, thank you so much for checking out the Andy Dare Show. This is episode 134. I'm joined by Adam Casto of Nerd Table. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Awesome.
How are you?
I'm doing well myself. And yeah, you guys just released your brand new EP called The Quest for Peace. It's your fourth release, is that correct?
It is. That is correct, sir.
Nice. And how long have you been playing with the band Nerd Table? I know you're pretty much like the mastermind behind the whole project, right?
Yeah, it's a scary thought when the dumbest guy is in charge, but...
Nice.
I've been doing this since 1998.
Wow, okay, nice.
1998, yes. It's been a minute.
Yeah, and this is the fourth release, or have you had other releases besides four?
Well, we've had four main releases. There was, like, a project that we released of, like, this kind of, like, demo and, like, practice recordings, some live recordings, but it wasn't anything where we invested a lot of effort into.
Sure.
I mean, we tried, but, you know what I mean? We didn't really fall out. It
sure.
was a release called Nerd Table, 1998 through 2004. It was basically, like, I wanted to represent every era of the band at that point.
Okay, cool. And it's kind of like the Odds and Sods collections and stuff like that.
Yes, Odds and Ends and stuff like that. Exactly.
And you're out of Columbus, Ohio, right?
Yes, the magical land of football, and that's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. Nice. Well, actually, I just... I realized I'd been interviewing lots of people from Columbus last year, so we put a best of everybody that I interviewed from Cleveland, Columbus, Dayton. I mean, there's actually kind of a hotbed of music. I love Guided by Voices. I mean, you guys are pretty grungy. I think Guided by Voices are pretty lo-fi, too. They've got that hard drinking sound, and I mean, you got Cleveland, you got Cobra Verde, stuff like that. You got Kim Deal, Kelly Deal. There's actually some stuff going on, but maybe Columbus itself, not so much, right?
Well, there is. Columbus is one of the largest cities in the country, but it's a large spread out sort of deal. And
gotcha.
I wouldn't say our scene sucks, but I wouldn't say I'm like, you know, terribly enthused by it. It's kind of clicky, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
If you're not popular already, then it's kind of a hard road to hoe, if you know what I mean.
Nice, but the thing that caught my ear about you guys was that in an era where grunge is pretty much, I mean, grunge kind of ended around 95, I'd say about that, and you guys are bringing it back totally, and with a lot of good friends in the whole era of grunge. I just got word from Tad Doyle. I'll be speaking with him at the end of February. My mind's blown from that news. And we just watched a documentary about the whole story of Tad, and it starts off with him taping a music video where, like, the 350-pound Tad is tied to the top of a car, and they're going fast down some highway, and then the camera crew's in front of them, and I was like, I'm immediately loving this documentary from the first minute, so it'll be a joy to talk to him. He actually was part of this new release. He helped record a little bit of the vocals at Witch Ape. Is that true?
Yeah, he recorded Chad Channing for me. He has a studio called Witch Ape Studio, and he recorded Chad on two songs. He's also a mastering engineer, which most people, I mean, when you talk about mastering, a lot of people are like, okay, I don't know what that is, or like, are confused by it. Or
yeah,
like,
to be honest, I'm kind of confused by it too. Like the whole, I know the mixing part, getting all the levels right, and then the mastering is just the last step to the final product, right?
Yes, exactly. It, you know, when I first started doing this, like, I didn't even want to master our first album. I was like, I don't even know what that is. That's a waste of fucking time. You know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about? You know, basically, like, you're just pulling shit out of your ass to charge me for it, basically. But it actually is a, you know, the more I've looked into it and the more I've, you know, invested my personal cash into, it's like something where it can really take your recordings up a notch. But it's only to the trained ear. I mean, you know,
sure,
in this day and age, you can make some demos and put it on YouTube or whatever the hell. People like it, then, you know, you're not going to give a shit whether it's mastered or not.
Sure.
But it's just that certain, you know, if you want to pay attention to that certain aspect, then, you know, it's definitely going to improve your music. You have to, like, know, you have to be, like, attention to detail sort of person to even care. I mean,
but it's a thing of, like, if you play it in your car stereo, it just blasts another step louder, right? And
yeah, like, he can bring up, like, a Tad Master Big Long Now on the new project, and he did a pretty good job. I mean, I'm pretty shocked at what he did, but, like, the nuance is so subtle that you'd have to, like, have headphones on and, like, you know, really delve deep into what you're listening to and listen to.
Sure.
The mastered version versus the regular version.
Nice.
It's a tricky art, I tell you.
Yeah, he seems like he totally knows what he's doing, and he's been doing it for nearly 30 years, I believe. So I think he definitely knows how to make the project sound the best it can. And, yeah, so you got four tracks. Why don't we go track by track? Fucking Nazi Bitch, the first track. I always love you. You guys got great song titles. Back to Terry Schiavo. I love that. That title was hilarious to me. And now Fucking Nazi Bitch to lead off the new project. Did you write this one?
I did.
Nice.
I did write it.
And it kicks the whole project off on a nice note. It just totally grabs you by the throat and puts you in a headlock pretty much.
Yeah. It's kind of like in the internet, weird things happen all the time. I have a buddy who I've never met, His name's Mitch Holmquist. He paid me to write that song, which is like...
Nice.
You know, I'm nobody, so to have somebody pay me to write a song is a huge honor. So basically that song is about his relationship that ended. Like, it was a girl he was dating, and then, you know, everything was going good. They were both, you know, hugely into the Melvins, and they were like, you know, Mitch, like, this is the greatest relationship of my life. Oh, my God. And, like, slowly it turned around, or he had found out that she was a Nazi, and he started noticing, like, oh, my God, she has a Nazi tattoo. You know what I mean? And it was, like, just an ugly, bitter breakup. And this song was the result of my buddy Mitch's relationship, basically. And, you know, it's kind of a weird situation. Like, you know, I was talking about, you know, I did a lot of, I don't want to say Dr. Phil moments, but, you know, I listened to him then about this chick for quite some time. And the song form of this relationship. Pretty crazy, though.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, everything's going good, and then you realize she's got a Nazi tattoo, and then that's the beginning of the end. But I feel like Mitch didn't need her anyways. And you got a great song because of it, so maybe it all turned out good. So that's I like
yeah,
that.
The song is great. He's happy with it. You know what I mean? Like I said, he paid me to do it. So he's a hell of a guy for doing it, and you know it worked out great.
That's pretty sweet. I like that. And then what's the second track? Big Long Now.
Big Long Now. Yeah.
Obviously, a Kurt Cobain, one of his. An incesticide track, right? One of the odds and sods from that Nevermind, or the pre-Nevermind era. Was Chad Channing originally on drums on that one?
He was.
Yeah.
Nice. He was. We selected that song because of it being sort of a more mellow tune. You know, we were trying to approach Chad to get him to do vocals on a Nirvana song, which I didn't really think, I mean, at best, I thought I was going to get him to, you know, be on one of our originals. I didn't think he would go for being on a Nirvana cover. So
yeah, really.
With it being a mellower song that fit with his style of how he sings with the band Four Cars, which is a really amazing band. I don't know if you've checked those guys out, but
yeah, I have. Pretty awesome. That guy does not age at all. He looks exactly like he did 20 years ago. You know.
And I'll tell you though. From being a fan of him, I'm sure he probably treats everyone that the way he treats me, where he responds to their messages on Facebook, that kind of deal. Like, you know, he always made me feel like I wasn't bugging him.
Yeah, but that's awesome. Yeah.
He, really a class act. I mean, it's really, Chad Channing's fucking God, as far as I'm concerned. I can't believe he got kicked out. You know, like, I didn't really think his drumming was so bad. I don't know what Kurt and Chris were hearing, but...
Yeah, like, the whole story, I actually pitched, like, a reality show where all the ex-Nirvana drummers, there's, like, six or seven, they all get together and have to live together, and, like, there's fights break out and stuff like that. I thought that would be hilarious. Actually, I think the reason
yeah,
that we met...
I remember that was on the Burkhart show that you did.
Yeah, like, I think that's how we met, was I was talking to Aaron Burkhart, and he's like, yeah, you got to check out Nerd Table. And he was on your previous release, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was basically doing nothing at the time, but...
Yeah, he's another guy where he's a kick-ass drummer. It's just, obviously everybody knows the story who's a big Nirvana fan about how he fell out with the guys. But Chad, the other thing too, like I forget the exact reasons why they fired him, but obviously Dave Grohl's coming next after him, and Dave Grohl's kind of in charge of the music industry in 2015, so I think they made a pretty wise decision back then and without knowing it. So yeah.
In hindsight, yes.
But yeah, what's the third track then?
The third track is a song called Bitch Eat Bologna All Day.
I love it. That's so good. How did the title come about with that one?
Well, it was kind of a touchy subject because I had witnessed somebody let's just lay the scene out. It was like some child neglect going on, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And I was at someone's house, not a friend. Let's just say I was buying a bag of weed. Let's just say that.
Let's just say
right?
that. Okay, sure.
Let's just you know, make no bones about it. I was buying a bag of weed, and this is what the guy referred to his daughter as. Like, just pretty warped story. She was trying to get into the refrigerator. She opened the refrigerator. This is the dope dealer's daughter. And I see her open the door. There's hardly nothing in the fucking refrigerator.
There's nothing. Okay. So yeah.
And then she's trying to grab some bologna. And then, you know, he refers to her and he looks over, ah, bitch, eat bologna all day. And I'm like, oh my God, what in the fuck is wrong with this dude? You know what I mean? Like, I'm never getting weed off you again. I'm just like, I'm leaving in terror. Like, it was, like, I really, while for me to even want to even think about it, the band, I told the band about the story. They all laughed at me, and I'm like, you know, like, really upset when I'm telling them, you know, like, about to freaking cry, and they're like, they kept fucking with me about it until I, you know, nailed down a song about it.
Nice.
So it was really
it came from a dark moment, but it actually turns out to be a pretty funny song title, but it actually comes from a darker thing of neglect and, I don't know.
Yeah, it's really, it was an upsetting thing, and I put everything out there. If you know, the song lyrics, exactly how I felt about the situation, and like, you know, it, I usually don't go that deep.
Why not though? Yeah. You gotta really write about what you go through. You know, I like that. So
a really upsetting day. Like, it turned it into a really one of the best moments of my recording career, mainly because Chad, you know, is on as well. And then Paul Leary from the Butthole Surfers supplies a solo in the middle of Bitchy Bologna Day.
And it's a like, crazy solo, too. It's awesome. Yeah.
It's something you would just, like, hear off a new Butthole Surfers album or something. You know what I mean? It's, like, exactly what you would think it would be and more.
How did you link up with Paul? Is it just emailing and stuff like that, going back and forth? Or?
Well, yeah, I'd back in the MySpace era, I had tried to build up a rapport with him there, and, you know, it took... I actually tried to get him on the last CD, Facing the Bronco. I wanted to do a solo on the song, Please Don't Rape My Grandma. But at the time, he was recording the new album with Sublime, with Rome.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've heard of that band. But basically, Sublime guys with a different singer.
Sure.
He was wrapped up in the production of that. So he said, no, I don't have time. You know, sorry, buddy. You know, so I'm like, okay. So I got a sorry, buddy. That's at least something, you know. So just more persistence and ball busting them, but not over the top. I mean, I didn't email them every fucking day or anything. It was just like
sure.
A progression of, and with him, I guess having the time and being a nice guy, he just did it. I mean, there wasn't anything financial about it. He just was like, here you go.
That's awesome. I wonder what happened with the Butthole Surfers.
Like he gave me a free set of Tide or something, you know what I mean?
Nice, and it's an amazing guitar solo. I wonder what happened with the Butthole Surfers, because, I mean, after they had the big hit with Pepper, they released one more album, and then that's been like 15 years. No word. Gibby Haynes, I don't know if he does solo stuff. Do you know about their story?
I know he did a 7-inch or something with Jack White like in 2014.
Cool.
But as far as like actual releases of the Butthole Surfers, that's the mind blowing thing. I mean, Jeff Dinkus from the Butthole Surfers has been with the Melvins, and then Paul Leary helped with the latest Melvins album as well. So it's been a matter of Gibby just not wanting to do it, because I think he's like a DJ in New York or something now.
Huh.
So you know, he lives in New York, but who knows? I mean, the Butthole Surfers should be making new albums. You would think that there'd be a market for it, but I think, you know, with the way shit is now, there's just no money.
There's maybe no money in the recorded music. You got to play live. You got to go around, do the talk shows, do everything, do interviews, stuff like that, do, you know, press releases and stuff. But I think you guys are doing that pretty well, it seems. Like, I really love the artwork on the album. I saw you got Elmo Kirkwood. Doing some.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the Kirkwoods are amazing. Just saw that they were at the Montage of Heck premiere. Would have loved to have been there. It's at Sundance. You wouldn't think Meat Puppets playing Sundance, but that looked like an awesome time. And, yeah, Elmo Kirkwood, the next generation, and obviously he's got the artistic vein, and he did some artwork for the new for Quest for Peace, right?
Yes, he did. He the image with the moon, he did, like, the initial little skull-looking guy.
Nice.
And then on the credits page, he did, there's, like, if you look closely on the border of the credits page, there's a very disturbing image that he came up with on his own. He's crazy. It's basically,
nice.
Let me just tell you what it is. Because some people will see it and they won't even recognize what it is because it's so bizarre. It's basically like imagine someone taking a shit, okay?
Okay.
Are you with me so far?
I am with you, yeah.
And then when he's taking a shit, instead of a turd coming out of his ass, there's a penis. He's shitting out a dick.
Okay, nice.
So it's an ass shitting a dick out. That's basically what the border is. And then there's also like a skull that he did that's on there. And then there's another little design on there, too, that he did.
And you just gave him free rein to draw whatever he wanted, pretty much?
Well, you know, there was multiple ideas involved, and it kind of like I just basically picked and chose that I wanted to use, fit in with the theme.
Nice.
Of nuclear death, I guess, would be.
Awesome. This episode of the Andy Dare Show is brought to you in part by Uncle Bub's award-winning barbecue in Westmont, Illinois. Family-owned and operated since 1997, Uncle Bub's is the real deal barbecue. A family-friendly restaurant open 7 days a week. Also, it's a full-service catering company doing weddings, pig roasts, luau's, grill packages, you name it. They have a friendly, helpful staff that will make sure that your party goes off without a hitch. Call them at 630-493-9000. Visit them at 132 South Cass Avenue in Westmount, Illinois, and UncleBubs.com. Hey man, I know you like grilling. I know you like getting those dark grill marks on your burgers, fish, chicken. And I know you don't want to just dry your meat out like you're cooking with a hairdryer. Why not get the Man Grate and click through the AndyDareShow.com's banner so we can keep the lights on here at Honeycomb Hideout Studios in gorgeous Westmont, Illinois. The Man Grate. This episode of the Andy Dare Show is brought to you in part by Record Utopia, a music lover's dream with thousands of vinyl records, musical instruments, and sound gear. They buy, sell, and trade. Give them a call at 630-963-1957. Visit them in Westmont, Illinois at 309 West Ogden Avenue, on the web at recordutopia.com. It's always a good, relaxed atmosphere. Check them out, Record Utopia. Yeah, I mean, it's a great listen, and that fourth track is just a guy leaving voicemails talking about in the PM, right?
Yeah, I wanted to do a song like that. Basically, the messages are to my guitar player's father, like one of his coworkers from, like, you know, 20 years ago or some 30 years ago. And I really wanted to do it in the vein of 22 going on 23 by the Butthole Surfers. I don't know if you know that tune or not, but it's a really bizarre message from some crazy lady. Just in a respect sort of way, just kind of do our own little take on that.
Little homage. Nice. Yeah, he definitely sounds like he's an Ohioan in the PM. I like that. That's hilarious. And cool way to end the project.
Yeah, nice little bow.
Nice.
But there was a lot of time and effort put in, and I'm glad that people are liking it. It's a good feeling to have people support. We're starting to get a lot more support. It's really fucking cool.
That's cool. I mean, I think you guys got the music to back it up. And you got any shows lined up for the spring around Ohio, or what's next for you guys?
There's nothing currently slated. We're looking to play at a bar called the Cara Bar. I just had to go up there and set up my date with the guy. But we're gonna, like, the money that we made from the Quest for Peace, we're gonna turn that right back around into another few songs.
Oh, okay.
So
nice.
We're, you know, just using the money from that to pay for recording, which
sure.
That was part of my diabolical plan to Nice. Do something really quick without having to fork over a lot of cash.
Yeah, these EPs are nice because obviously you don't have to fork over that much, and then you can keep the ball rolling, make another EP, and then eventually you can just group them together without any recording money and then press up a full length, and it's super easy that way too. It's kind of nice, little compilation deal. Like,
yeah, of course. It's so hard to find the money. I mean, I don't know if you know how much it costs to record versus how much you're going to make back, and you know, it's definitely not a, you know, if you're a businessman, you're not buying all those stocks to be like, oh, yes, nerd table futures are going to just roll in with all these profits.
Yeah, I mean, like even Steve Albini, he has trouble paying the bills, and he's the one doing the recording. So even on that end, he's having trouble. So the band, I mean, you're paying $800-900 a day and stuff like that, plus the engineer, and that's just to get it down on tape. Then you got to pay more to do the mixing, the mastering, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, you got something that no one can ever take away from you. You got a final, you know, got a finished product that you can pass on to the next generation or whatever. Nothing will ever happen to it, and that's kind of the beauty of doing it. I like that.
You're right. You're totally right. That's exactly what I do it for. I just want to have something. You know, especially with the Nirvana covers that we've been doing, like, you know, I find it mind-blowing how rapid the Nirvana fan base is still, and, like, the thirst for new material, even though there's never going to be new material.
Yeah.
So
this is kind of the closest thing. Yeah, this is, like, the closest thing to new material. It's newly recorded, featuring members of that once were Nirvana. I think this is cooler than finding a home recorded demo that's slightly different from another home recorded demo that Kurt did. I don't get super excited about new demos from Kurt, even though it is cool to hear it, but it's just, as you said, we're not going to hear that much new stuff. I mean, he's been gone since 94. There's not going to be a lot of stuff left on the floor, but
yes.
this is a cool thing. It keeps me excited about the grunge music, and, yeah, people want to find out more about you. Is there a website or Reverb Nation or Twitter?
Yes, there is those things. We're on Reverb Nation. We have our own website. It's nerdtableonline.com.
Nice.
That's, you know, paying our respects to America Online.
Nice.
Because everybody loves America Online.
Sure.
That's the cutting edge right there.
That's the new stuff right there.
And, you know, of course, we're on Facebook. You know, occasionally I'll check my MySpace page if anybody's still on MySpace. I think that is, you know, that era for bands was like still part. Like people would check out bands on MySpace. Now I don't think they check bands on Facebook as much as they did on MySpace. But
yeah, you're right. It was better for musicians. It was better for musicians. The MySpace era was, but Facebook, it seems like people are more easily to talk to. People are more, it's easier to spread the word. Obviously, there's probably 20 times the amount of people on Facebook than MySpace nowadays. But
yeah.
And I like Twitter, too, because it's not a bunch of baby pictures. It's not a lot of, I'm engaged. It's not all that stuff. It's just little links to stuff. So that's why I like Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
Twitter.com/nerdtable.
All right, easy.
I'd like to have somebody communicate with me on Twitter because I really haven't had much. I mean, I've had a little bit more than usual success on it with the quest for peace, but I really, as far as Twitter goes, it has not done much for me. I can't point to one CD sale or one gig. I have just not been very successful when it comes to Twitter. Someone, just anybody out there on Twitter,
sure,
do something. Just hit me up just to prove that it is a legitimate
nice. I got a small following. I will do some retweeting and spreading the word on Twitter. And at Nerd Table, hit them up. Check out nerdtableonline.com. And, yeah, the new EP, The Quest for Peace, get it at nerdtableonline.com. Yeah, that about does it. Just want to thank you for taking the time out and, yeah, for, you know, communicating back and forth the last couple of years. It was cool meeting you through Aaron Burkhard. And, yeah, just want to say thanks. And, yeah, any last words, dude?
I think your show is great. I can't wait to to hear the Tad interview. Maybe you could ask him why Tad hasn't released that last album. They have an album in the can that they haven't released. Ask him about that. Why, what the fuck's the deal?
Sure.
People want to hear that, you know?
Well, yeah, I know he's doing Brothers of the Sonic Cloth now. I don't know if that's the same guys or what's the deal. I'll have to do some research before we do that. So.
Oh, yeah, that's not the same guy. But thanks for having me on. As far as Nerd Table goes, you know, we've got some other stuff we're working on. I can't release any details right now, but it's stuff people would be into.
All right.
You know. Keep your eye if you like you know, hearing members of Nirvana do stuff with Nerd Table, then we've got some other stuff coming along the pipeline that might be, you know, cooler. I don't know about cooler, but just as cool.
Nice. All right, that sounds good. And yeah, on behalf of Adam Casto, this is Andy signing off for the Andy Derer Show.
Be sure to follow Andy on Twitter, that's at Andy Derer, and like our show on Facebook, that's facebook.com/TheAndyDerer Show. Videos at youtube.com/AndrewMartinDerer, and we're on iTunes, just search The Andy Derer Show, and please leave a review. Thanks so much to our wonderful sponsors, Uncle Bub's award-winning barbecue, Record Utopia, The Band Great, and Amazon.com, theme song courtesy of Rich Banks Music. Thank you so much for checking out The Andy Derer Show. TheAndyDerer.com.
Speaking in French.